The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 9th chapter, text number 47, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on January 6, 1996, in Sri Vrindavan Dham.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O beloved demigods, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge, and I am certainly most pleased with you. A person is liberated by such knowledge, and thus he remembers my exalted position, which is above the conditions of material life. Such a devotee is fully purified by offering prayers in full knowledge. This is the source of devotional service to me. Purport. Another name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Uttama Shloka, which means that he is offered prayers with selected verses. Bhakti means Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, chanting and hearing about Lord Vishnu. Impersonalists cannot be purified, for they do not offer personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though they sometimes offer prayers, the prayers are not directed toward the Supreme Person. Impersonalists sometimes show their incomplete knowledge by addressing the Lord as being nameless. They always offer prayers indirectly, saying, you are this, you are that. But they do not know to whom they are praying. A devotee, however, always offers personal prayers. A devotee says, Govindam Adipurusam Tamaham Bhajami. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Govinda, unto Krishna. That is the way to offer prayers. If one continues to offer such personal prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is eligible to become a pure devotee and return home back to Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavari Pastitade Sitarane. After a series of verses, prayers by demigods, when they were being attacked by Vritasura. Now, having heard those prayers, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is replying. And he says he is pleased by the prayers. In the purport, Prabhupada several times mentions personal prayers. Prayer, of course, is one of the 9 items of bhakti. Vandanam. And these 9 items, all are one, are followed by a devotee for going back to Godhead. We can take this phrase, personal prayers, in several ways. In the purport, the point is that you should pray to the person. That seems obvious enough, but it's a big point missed by most. Certainly missed by the impersonalists, very deliberately and offensively, making prayers, but not to a Supreme Person. So Prabhupada sometimes says their prayers are actually an insult, their descriptions of the Absolute, their worship of the Absolute, denying the obeisances owed to the Supreme Person are an insult to him. He gives the example that if you speak of a person and say, oh, you blind one, oh, you cripple, describe him like that, oh, you without hands, this description of the person is insulting. Call a person names like that, outlining defects. So, When they say like that, you have no form, you have no name, Naraka, they're actually delivering insults before the transcendental form of the Lord and before His devotees. So devotees are very pained when they hear these so-called descriptions and prayers of the Personality of Godhead. Those are not personal prayers. Then there's another kind of prayer that's not personal, because it may be theistic, but it's so vague. that there's really, who the person is not clear. Srila Prabhupada mentioned the Bengali poet Tagore, who many years ago won the Nobel Prize, you know, for literature. And he wrote a long poem called Gitanjali, in which he addressed the Supreme as Tumi, which Prabhupada translated as Thou. So he said, Prabhupada said, who is this Tumi? Who is? All he can say is, there's a person there, but I'm not going to say who that person is. Doesn't know who the person is, doesn't want to specify or whatever. Of course, there can be devotion in such prayer, but it's really not so personal. There's also one episode in the Old Testament of the Bible that Prabhupada noted where there's a manifestation of God, some partial manifestation, and the devotee is full of awe who perceives this, and he asks the Lord, who are you? And the reply is, I am what I am. So as with the Tagore prayer, Prabhupada mentioned that this is incomplete, certainly, identity of the person. When you give your identity, you have to give your name. If someone says, who are you? You don't say, I am what I am, unless you want to withhold information, be mysterious, which is maybe the case here. It's not going to tell the person. He's not qualified. You have to give your name and your father's name. So when we pray, we pray with many names of God. And in Vedic science, God is known in many forms, in many expansions, all Vishnu Tattva, in the many incarnations. But out of all those incarnations, we pray especially to Govinda, to Krishna. Nanda Sutta, the son of Nanda. Why? Because he is the original, all-attractive, most intimate form of Krishna, to give all benedictions, to give reciprocation to the devotees. So we are followers of Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and so we're very fortunate to be able to make personal prayers to the personality of Godhead. Now, another meaning of personal prayer would have to do with the devotee, the one who's praying. We've just described that personal prayer means that that God is particularized, not impersonal, not any God, not any form of God, but it's particularized. Then it's personal. So similarly, for you to make a personal prayer, you have to be there. You have to be on the line. It's a prayer made by a person, not just the prayer of all other devotees or God or group. But to be personal, it's when it's your prayer as a one jiva to the Lord. And this must be, actually, to be effective prayer. Nobody can pray for you, just as nobody can eat for you. Otherwise, when one person prayed and one person was liberated, then we'd all be liberated, because we're all spirit. And so we all merge and go back to Godhead when one person goes back to Godhead because he prayed. Of course, there is such a thing as a great devotee praying for others. But still, one has to pray to make personal prayers. I'll give you a nice reference to this from Nectar of Devotion. This is where intense desire to serve the Lord is being described. And Prabhupada says, one should feelingly pray and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teaching of all great devotees, especially Lord Chaitanya. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually pray, actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. Someone can't cry for you either. You have to cry for your, in this case, it's being described, your unique service to Krishna. That may be a very advanced prayer, but even before that, you have to pray not to fall down. Even Lord Brahma, he's always praying that I may not fall down in the execution of my service. I would pray that I not commit Vaishnava aparad and various aparads. And we pray to know our service and to practice our service, to be enthusiastic. So this is individual or personal prayer. Don't think that you're not eligible to pray. That personal prayer is for somebody else, but not for me. Then you become a non-person, and Krishna doesn't hear from you. There's a nice instance where Prahlad Maharaj is asked to pray to Lord Nrisimha, and he's considering that he's not worthy as a demon's son. Prabhupada was lecturing on it. He said, someone may say, well, how can you pray? You're just a little child. Not learned. And then he says, Prahlad says, never mind, I am child. I can pray. Oh, my God. So he said the only point in prayer is to have the feeling to call, oh, my God. You're so great. To have the bhakti. Anyone can have. So therefore, prayer is made in your own words. Personal prayer. Another meaning, therefore, is personal prayer is when you pray in your own words. And now, a third consideration of the possible meaning of personal prayer is when an individual prays, not in his own words, but using the shastra, but selecting verses that by a personal method. Or sometimes it seems like the verses select us, the way they reach out to us, according to our stage of devotional service, or maybe what we're going through in life. And that's one reason the prayer was made and composed by the previous acharyas or put in the Bhagavatam, that we may take it up and make it ours. So then it becomes a personal prayer, probably better than any prayer that you could make. And that's what appeals to us. We read it and we say, oh, this is just what I would want to pray to Krishna. I never had such inspiration. But I shall take this. I shall make this my prayer to Krishna. I'll give you an example of a prayer that I have turned to. I like. This is a prayer made by Maharaj Parikshit. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.19.16. And the sages have gathered around as Maharaj Parikshit is about to await Sukadeva Goswami speaking to him. So Maharaj says, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. So this is a prayer, and there are many like this in Bhagavatam also, made by a devotee who anticipates that he's not perfect and his death is about to come. He does not have such ambition or hope that he's going to get 100% promotion, go back to Godhead. He'll have to come back to the material world. So he prays for a pattern of life that will be ideal in the material world. And the three things he prays for are complete attachment to Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. So you can see how that we can fit into a prayer like this and make it Make it your prayer. Since we're savoring prayers, and this is also Prabhupada Day, as every day is, I'd like to turn to a couple of prayers by Prabhupada. As Kundali Prabhu, he read two prayers by Prabhupada the other day, especially centered on surrender. So, I have some prayers by Prabhupada. And the first one is in a letter to a devotee. And Prabhupada was thanking the devotee, the disciple, for service, and then said, "I am very poor and have nothing to return for your loving service, but I can simply pray to Krishna for your gradual advancement in Krishna consciousness. I think that is the best blessing which we can have in this material existence." So, Prabhupada is describing that he prays to Krishna for us. Prabhupada works for us in so many ways. We heard how in so many nitty-gritty ways he worked and slaved, that he said gallons of blood, going through fire to establish this temple and other places. At the same time, while he did so many things, he prayed to Krishna that the devotees who came to Prabhupada could get Krishna's blessings. And Prabhupada felt himself like a tiny servant who couldn't bring these things about by himself, and who saw that his devotees were poor, as he called us, poor students. So could Krishna please help them? And we feel very fortunate to think that Prabhupada is praying for us. And here's another statement by him in the same way, mood, from a morning walk in Mayapur in 74. He's speaking about his disciples. "When they chant and dance, I simply remember Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that's all. I pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now they have come to your shelter. Give them protection. That's all. What more can I do? I cannot do anything more." So he's praying, in one prayer he's praying to Krishna, and then he's talking, praying to the eternal person, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, asking him to please accept these persons. You wanted them from all over the world to come and chant Jai Sachi Nandan, Hare Krishna in Mayapur. Here they are. And maybe they look a little ragged and they're fighting, but you please give them your shelter. And Prabhupada was praying. I have one more comment, and then if there's any questions. This also is a reference by Srila Prabhupada, and it brings out a further point than about prayer or personal prayer, about the inner dynamics of prayer exchange with the Lord. It occurs in this book, Dialectic Spiritualism, when Prabhupada was discussing the philosopher and theologian Soren Kierkegaard. So Hayagriva said, Kierkegaard writes, quote, "The true relation in prayer is not when God hears what is prayed for, but when the person praying continues to pray until he is the one who hears what God wills." And Srila Prabhupada says, "Yes, that is very nice. Through prayer, one becomes qualified to understand God, talk with God, and receive His directions. Tesham satata yuktanam vajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yinamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me." God is within, and when He sees that we are sincere in His service, He takes charge and gives directions by which we can swiftly approach Him. When we are purified, we can talk with God and see Him and receive His instructions personally as Arjuna did. So, we can rest assured that if we pray, Krishna hears the prayer. So that's not the big point. Did He hear? Did He hear my prayer? Did He get it? Sometimes we're worried about whether our mail got through. So our main concern is, did He get it? Did He get it? So Krishna, He hears the prayer. And then it doesn't fall on deaf ears, especially if we make the right prayer, asking for devotional service. asking. So this is what we should actually pray for. Some direct, and it may be, again, to be personal, specific, for you, for me. Some of the devotees, when we come to Vrindavan, on our agenda, what we want to do here is, while I'm in Vrindavan, I want to be sure to chant my rounds as nicely as possible, and I want to get some direction for my life. I want to pray to Krishna, what does he want me to do? And how can I have the intelligence and courage to do it? Now, it's not always such a simple matter that we know, that Krishna tells us. In the very beginning, it may be that you just, if you want to know what Krishna wants, you ask the temple president. And that may suffice. But sometimes, at some stages, it doesn't. And after the disappearance of the spiritual master, it's also complicated. So we study his books. We associate with his disciples. And we pray to understand what is Krishna's will. Actually, so we have, this is a quality of hearing or listening to understand what is, how is Krishna answering my prayer? He heard your message and he is replying, but you have to be very sensitive to understand. God is revealed in general and personally. He's revealed in the scriptures. But another place he's revealed is in our life. So you have to examine your life and see by force of circumstances or by some direct instruction and even by what may seem like a chance thing. Krishna is revealing himself. So this is another dynamic of prayer, is to pray to Krishna, please, tell me what I should do, and then to scrutinize in every way possible to understand how that will is being, how the will of Krishna is being conveyed to us. If you render devotional service, Prabhupada quotes Tesham Satyadi Yuktanam, it surely will come. Everything will be revealed to us. So, I will stop there if there's any questions or comments. Kumarupa Prabhu?
Which are, of course, like the prayers you mentioned about Pramod Maharaj. So we know, because it was recited by the great Mahajan, that there's no motive, there's a purity there. It's a prayer uttered with pure devotion. And so sometimes we hear that it's better to repeat those prayers, to refer to the prayers we find in the scriptures, than to, say, compose our own. I would just like to know if you would just comment on that. The idea is that if we compose the prayer ourselves, that there may be tinged with some motive, and therefore not as beneficial to recite. Sometimes it is.
Well, one thing, when you say compose, we think a prayer can be simultaneously a spontaneous call to Krishna and also a literary composition, which is then preserved like in the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam prayers, they're perfect in every way, as literature, as religion, as transcendental prayer. So how could you expect to make prayers like that? So in that sense, unequivocally, they're better than the prayers. Vyasadeva's prayers are better than my prayers. But I still have to pray. Maybe I don't have to presume, yes, I shall compose a prayer. Here's my prayer, and I've written it down. And I write it on the wall of Mayapur, outside the wall. One devotee did that, and Prabhupada said, you shouldn't have presumed. He writes in prayers down there. But prayers come out of our heart. They're not exactly recited, but they come. Krishna, please help me. And Prabhupada said the only prayer is to just say, please accept me, Krishna, please accept me. So I made the point that with the presence of mind, we may make Bhagavatam prayers our prayers. But still, that even if we say that that's better, it doesn't exclude, it can't exclude the cry of the human heart. If somebody's going to say dogmatically, no cries from the human heart, you just have to, what verse is that? Then it's not real. That's not what happens. People pray. They pray the Our Father from the Christian prayer, or their Muslim prayer, or the Vedic prayer, but they call also. It's not either or. Yes.
It seemed that he was implying by his question that the prayers in Bhagavatam are pure.
Huh.
But our prayers from our conditional platform are contaminated. But that's why we're praying. If we're already pure, in other words, by praying we're revealing our mind to the Lord. So if our prayer is infested with our own contaminations, our own anarchies, that's actually an factual assessment of where we are. Hmm. So I don't think it seemed like he was trying to say that these prayers are better because they're pure, and we're impure ourselves, so better we repeat those prayers. But what you seem to be saying in our experience is that if we offer our own individual prayers, which may be fraught with so many anarchas or impurities, that's our personal assessment of where we're at. We're offering to Krishna, here I am, maybe I want this, I'm praying for a new car, I'm praying for a new job, or whatever. But I'm praying to you, Krishna, and do whatever is necessary to lift me up.
Right. And of course, because we're trained, we know at least not to indulge in that kind of prayer. But as much as we do know, our prayer will still be less than... for example, we read Queen Kunti's prayer that when disaster comes in my life, then I think of you. So bring the disasters. Then by thinking of you, I will not have to come back into this world. So often devotees, that when they see that one, oh boy, I couldn't pray like that. And it's an honest statement. I mean, so that's a better prayer. But if you're not going to make that prayer, if you make that prayer and you don't mean it, Krishna wants to know what you mean. It may be just put in our own way, but because we're trained, we at least, we come to the point of pure devotion. If there's anything impure in my prayer, please cancel it and find something good. Oh, Gopinath, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer, those are not perfect prayers. They're prayers by a lusty, fallen man, supposedly. Oh, Gopinath, he says, you're so intelligent and expert, you find a way to get me out of this. I'm just so lusty, but you find a way to please save me. I tried in every way to be happy. I can't be happy. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I was just thinking that prayer seems to be a combination of two things. The sincere desire of the person that's saying the prayer to approach God and take shelter in it and glorify it. And at the same time, though, it has to be done in such a way that it's not offensive. So
yeah.
That requires that training.
Yeah.
So in that way, that we can combine our heartfelt feelings, but under the guidance and shelter of the acharyas. Because in that example you gave there of the person that wrote that verse on the wall in Mayapur, Prabhupada requested some pictures be painted there to advertise his books. And then this boy was doing that, and he was adding some verses, which Prabhupada said that Chaitanya Charitamrita verses were fine, but then he read one verse that he didn't recognize, and he immediately knew the boy had made it up, as you said, and then he turned and he said, do not dare like this. So then the boy said, yes, but is it all right? So Prabhupada said, yes, it's all right what you've written, but do not dare like this. So that person later on joined the Sahajas Act. I think the Gauranga Naga is the same thing.
Yeah.
So now he's considered an offender. And I think the Prabhupada detected that mentality in him right at the very beginning. And therefore he was prompted to say something about that particular verse. So we have to be very careful in offering our realization or heartfelt ideas.
Yeah, an example of that is when Prabhupada talks about, again, the sahajas and their invention of mantra. What is it? Radhisham, Nitai Gaur Radhisham. So he said, of course, he said they have a sentiment. He says something favorable about it, his purport. Of course, they're devotees, and so there's a sentiment, he said. So there's some awareness of that, but because it's really, they should not have done that, that there's very little benefit compared to chanting. He was talking about Panchatattva mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura. So we should chant the whole Panchatattva mantra, he said, and not make up some other mantra like that Babaji did, and now people are chanting that. So it's not that he was necessarily a materialist or an impersonalist. He was a kind of a Vaishnava, but just sentiment, no science. So the heart has to be trained. Philosophy without religion is not acceptable. It's dry. But religion without philosophy is speculation. I mean, religion without philosophy is fanaticism or sentimental. Yes?
In regards to praying to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada once stated that his prayers should be followed up by endeavor.
Prayer and endeavor. I remember Prabhupada saying that to us in 1968 in Boston. We were trying to get a house, move out of our storefront. So we told Prabhupada about it, and one of the devotees said, Prabhupada, can we pray to Krishna for that house? He said, yes, pray and endeavor. So, you act as fully as you can to bring something about in devotional service, but you know the outcome is up to Krishna. Do both. If Krishna, if you desire, is understood. All right.
We know for sure that our prayers are not pure. Our prayer is because we are motivated and whatever we are in difficulty, we pray, we want to pray. And we are always in difficulty. There may be how many prayers, how many times we approach the Lord, or well, or sometimes we feel that we're always going in front of the Lord and demand you do this for me, please. But then, sometimes for devotional service, sometimes it's on and on and on. If something like that, we should just keep something to ourselves and not every time go in front of the deity and bother the Lord or have some kind of borderline, what form of realm and what you tolerate.
That's only one aspect of prayer, petition, asking. But most people, that's the whole thing. All prayer is petition. If you look up in the dictionary, prayer, it means petition. But prayer also means praise, thanksgiving, and other aspects. So as you say, we mostly just go to Krishna and ask, give me this, give me that, order supplier. We should just be more accepting in that area of whatever he has sent us. And don't keep making those prayers. Like Prabhupada said, the Pandavas, that there's so many difficulties, he said, but they never prayed. They never prayed. And I heard that because I like to think about prayer. I said, they never prayed. And then he paused and he said, they prayed to glorify the God. But he meant they never prayed, get us out of this, get us out of this. So we should always be praying. So don't stop going before the Lord and praying. Oh, you look so nice today. Radha Parthasarathi, Radha Shyam Sundar, please let me serve you, let me please you. That desire is not a material desire. Or even like you say, a desire, please give us a new computer or bring a lot of people to the feast. Some of them are good. Let me distribute more books than the others. So they're all, they're kind of mixed. Yes, so we should be kind of silent. I also think that prayer is not just like a separate thing, like we said, a literary composition or some words, but it's your whole life is an offering or even what you can't say. You were saying that some people, they can't lecture, but their heart is full of feeling for Krishna. So if you ask people to pray, some people say, I can't write a prayer, but their life may be a prayer in their attitude towards Krishna, even in ways that they can't verbalize. So in answer to your question, I think we should always go before Krishna, but yeah, ease up on the demands, the list of what I want and so on, and just ask the service, like Prabhupada asked the spiritual master. Okay, I'll stop here. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.